Welcome to Movement 4.0, From Babies to Astronauts. This is Michelle Turner, creator of Movement Lesson. I work with people all day long here down on planet Earth, helping them move better. I've put together some ideas about gravity and movement and presented them in my book, You Can't Get to Mars Without Me, The Rules of Gravity. In there are 21 new theories of biological gravity relating to gravity and movement. I've designed this podcast around these discussions, and I thought you might be interested. I want to talk about mass and fall. There's a lot of misconceptions on falling. Why? Because we fall down. We're capable of falling down. There's no doubt about that. However, falling is also a milestone. Falling is also a random act of gravity, and that's when you hurt yourself. We actually don't organize to fall, and I've talked about this before. We are really not meant to fall down. Same with babies. Babies have a really big milestone that I've presented called the absolute horizon. When you pick a baby up, they kind of float in space. Now, if I were to let go of the baby will fall. Gravity will work. If I knock over the cup, gravity will work. It will fall. However, the cup, being linear, will probably fall with the same momentum every time, depending on if there was, you know, obviously liquid in the glass or not. But the same way, a cup will fall over with a trajectory. You and I won't. We will never fall the same way twice. We have thousands of movements, millions of movements within our body, and that act of falling is very random, right? So if I trip over something and fall down, oops, you know, gravity is just can be a real doozy. But it's an important milestone within us because, again, we're not taught to fall. Typically, going down, if I want to go down, I do it through my pubic bone, through the center of my pelvis, and I go down almost into a squat position. You'll see babies organized like that very well. It's actually one of the, I wouldn't say telltale signs of, let's say, autism and so forth, because they fall much more, again, random. I remember constantly telling doctors, why does my son fall down like a drunk? He didn't fall down. He fell over, right, for lack of a better things. But it was still a fall, and then he'd get up again, and it was very fatiguing on him, and he would just get wiped out. He slept all the time. So the pelvic and the pubic symphysis have a learning, a sort of like a ricochet, right? So if I go to sit down, I don't commit to it, right? So my pubic bone is looking for the floor. It's like a plumb line dropping down, and it's going in. But yet at the same time, my pelvis can interact and come back up to standing. Now, if I commit, let's say, to sitting down as a fall, that plump into the chair, once you commit to the fall, you negate that whole dichotomy of the pelvis and the pubic symphysis, right? That ricochet is not there. You're now into the catapult, right? And you've committed to the fall. So it's a very interesting dichotomy within the human body. Now, this is not apparent or available in outer space, but this is the one thing that I've learned with my work with Movement Lesson. I get this all the time. I can't, or my child can't. Can't is a big thing that people see. They look at an external source of movement, like walking down the hallway as an accomplishment, throwing the ball into the basket as accomplishment. But they don't look at what is the stress on I can't? What is the system has not learned to create the movement you're looking for versus I can't? What is the body not being able to do or prevented in doing for I can't? If I say, go outside right now and drive your Ferrari, you're going to say, well, I can't. I don't have the car. I don't own the car. Some of you might say, okay, cool. But again, because the possibility is there, you made it happen by buying the car, or you know you can rent the car. But for most of us, let's say a high-priced item like that is just, it's unattainable in our language. Now, is it truly unattainable? No, you can work five jobs or whatever, or create the income source, and then that's all you need, and put a goal towards it to create that I can't into I can. But at the same time, there are certain movements within the human body that are just in our subconscious. It's just in our underlying facilities. It's not a primitive reflex. It's a primitive It's not even primitive at all. It's a developmental milestone that is created in relationship to gravity. So as I'm learning to oppose gravity, I don't fall down. Why? Because I'm opposing gravity. It's that simple. Now, when I trip, then I'm no longer opposing gravity, and gravity takes me down like a hard rock. But for the most part, I am opposing gravity, so therefore the force of gravity is not a pulling force on my body. You're not in your chair being pulled to the ground to fall down. You are if you're under anesthesia or you're under drugs and alcohol. You are if you have had a stroke, let's say, your special needs. And that's what I'm talking about all of here. So now when an astronaut goes into outer space, now it's perplexing to say, and it could be right or wrong, that we are in a perpetual free fall, and that's why you have the float. I also would like to say, though, as far as the organization of the central nervous system, we no longer have gravity that's an influence, and we no longer have rotational movements in our system that we can perform as an influence, and we no longer can oppose gravity as an influence. So those key moments in biology, so all we have left is our buoyancy factor, and our buoyancy factor now gets very heightened. You might think of it as like your five senses. If I'm visually impaired, my hearing would get very heightened. My sense of taste and smell would get very heightened because I don't have my eyes. So the other four senses have to become more aware. So what you can't look at is that an astronaut, in a sense, is falling in space. What you need to look at is, now, what are the stresses on the human body that they're no longer neurologically computing? And one is the act of opposing gravity. So if they're not opposing gravity, then yes, in a sense, you're correct. They are falling, but they're never going to hit the ground in that sense either because they're up in space. And if they do, they're going to bounce because their mass differential is different than it is here that we're used to on Earth. But the biggest thing that happens is that pelvis-pubic symphysis is now no longer a ricochet. Right? This is the equipment that he really needs to be, exercise equipment that needs to be developed in outer space, is devices that allows this mechanics in the pelvis to maintain its property, to tease the body as if your organization is opposing gravity. And that's where we really have to go into those structures of gravity and movement. Therefore, when an astronaut comes back or is in a different gravitational space, now the body wants to complete the fall because that's what it's been organizing to do for days, hours, weeks, months, years in outer space, is trying to organize the fall. So when you come back to Earth, fall is really apparent. And one of the biggest things you cannot do in astronaut rehabilitation is to let an astronaut, in a sense, blindfold them, hold their arms crossed, because again, you're still taking away rotation, you're taking away the sense of vision, so you're heightening other senses where you're lessening the one, and you actually have people around you preventing the fall, organizing again the pelvis, the ricochet in momentum into that is really important in any kind of rehabilitation. I created an astro session within my work because that's my development, is to help astronauts in outer space. But I'm working with special needs kids because when you're special needs, that momentum or that lack of ricochet is really apparent as well. And so a child is organized to fall. It's not organized to stand. So we make the misconception that standing now is muscle-based. But it's not. Muscles come into play, but they don't create standing. I cannot force my feet into the ground and stand up. I have to have that momentum through my pelvis, right? And then it goes into jumping, and then it goes into a jump with a twist or cartwheels, those rotational milestones. And this is where what you look at as reflexes come into play, because it's the act of all the appendages now able to ricochet around that pelvis pubic symphysis in space in a 360 degrees. Now, I'm not going to the Olympics, so I wouldn't be hardcore with that. But if you're parkour, you know, or you're a high jumper, or if you're a volleyball player, these are mechanics in your body that you need to know. But you can't take a high-class athlete and just stick them in space saying, oh, because of the way that their muscle structure works, that will be maintained in outer space. No, we have to look at the mechanics of movements prior to space travel, during space travel, and upon the returns. This is Michelle Turner for Movement Lesson. Movement 4.0 from Babies to Astronauts. Please listen to all the podcasts. Get the book. You can't get to Mars without me. It's physically on my site, youcandothis.com. It's available on Audible. It's available on Amazon. If you need me, look for Movement Lesson. I'm everywhere on the internet. My site is movementlesson.academy. Thanks so much. See you at the next podcast.